is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning, again, is a rather long one, so Pete and I are going to read it as a dialogue. You will remember last week, Abraham sitting outside his tent, minding his own business. Suddenly there are these three strangers who show up. And we get this lesson on hospitality. What does hospitality look like at that time? What does it look like for us today? Hospitality is a Christian virtue. But now these three people are going to go off and be about the business of Sodom and Gomorrah. Don't trust what you've heard about it. Read the text yourself. Go home this afternoon. It follows right after the scripture lesson. Look it up in Genesis and read that story. But Pete and I are going to read God and Abraham's conversation with each other. So listen now for the word of God. Then the Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know."
So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?"
And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake."
Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to my Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5?
And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there."
Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there."
He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it."
Then he said, "Oh, do not let my Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there."
He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there."
He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to my Lord. Suppose 20 are found there."
He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it."
Then he said, "Oh, do not let my Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there."
He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it."
The New Testament lesson is from the book of Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verses 6 through 19. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in matters of food and drink or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and the worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with a growth that is from God.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Luke, as we've been reading this year. We're going to be in chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Listen now for the word of God. He, Jesus, was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? My friends, this is the word of the Lord for us this day. Thanks be to God. But for the last several weeks during this time, we have been traveling with Jesus. We have been traveling with Jesus and his followers on the road to Jerusalem. And we know for Jesus, this is going to be his last trip to Jerusalem. When he gets there, he is going to be crucified. But along the way, he explains to his followers what it means to follow him. He wants everyone to know, well ahead of time, what following him entails. And so he is very clear that following him, walking the way of the cross, is not a part-time or a once-in-a-while project. Foxes have dens where they may rest their heads, but followers of Jesus have no vacation homes where they can stop being Christians for a while and forget about walking the way of the cross. Nor, Jesus says, can we put it off to an opportune time. No, if we are going to follow Jesus, we have to do it right here, right now, 24/7. We learn from the story of the Good Samaritan, following Jesus means loving God with everything we have and our neighbor as ourselves. And who is my neighbor? We asked. Anyone in distress is my neighbor. Even my enemy. Even my enemy. Last week, we looked at Mary and Martha. One of these two is busy, busy, busy. The other sits at Jesus' feet and learns about him and from him. So we who follow Jesus have to strike that balance. We honor Jesus by caring for others and through our worship. Bible study and prayer life, the time we take to sit and get to know Jesus as a person, as a Savior. This morning, we look at what it means to be in relationship with Jesus. What's it all about, having a relationship with Jesus? I think it's safe to say that all of us here today know someone who is in a relationship, right? I mean, we all know someone who has a spouse or a partner or a significant other in their lives. We all understand about being in a relationship. And when people are in a relationship, they talk to each other, right? So how often do they talk to each other? What's the norm, do you think? Let's say someone tells you they're in a relationship, and you say, "Oh, that's wonderful. How often do you talk to each other?" "Twice a year." "What? Really?" "Well, yeah, twice a year. That's all we need." "Do you go somewhere special? Somewhere you can be alone and it's just the two of you?" "No, we don't need that. Twice a year, we meet somewhere in public, usually a big building with a lot of other people around. We hang out for an hour, and then we go our separate ways." If someone said that to us, we would say that was rather odd, wouldn't we? People in a loving, caring relationship who only talk to each other for an hour twice a year? Pretty strange. Talking, communicating, sharing with each other is an important part of a relationship. We know this. Communicating back and forth matters a lot. With God, we call this talking back and forth prayer. That's what prayer is. Prayer is talking back and forth with God. Unfortunately, prayer and praying make some of us nervous. You know, we think there are special rules. We think there are special formulas and styles and things we should or shouldn't do or say when we are talking back and forth with God. But actually, there are no rules. Miss Jennifer explained that to us. There are seriously no rules. Some people like to stand up when they pray. Some people wave their arms and they get this feeling of excitement. Others prefer to sit while they're praying. They fold their hands and they sit in silence. Others prefer to pray kneeling, sometimes weeping, or perhaps with sighs too deep for words. Some people like to have their prayers written out ahead of time. Others prefer to wait for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Friends, it doesn't matter. Do what works for you. Do what works for you. There is no one way, there is no right way to pray. Look at Abraham, right? In our text this morning, he stands up and has a running dialogue with God. It almost sounds like he's haranguing God, doesn't it? But hey, you know, it worked for him. I get asked to pray a fair amount. I get asked to pray a lot. And yeah, honestly, I don't mind. In fact, I enjoy it. I've been very fortunate in my life. I've had the opportunity to pray for a wide variety of people in a lot of special places. And I'm honored to do it. But I know sometimes some people feel uncomfortable praying around me. They don't sound like me. Well, of course you don't sound like me, you know? You're you. I'm me. No one needs to sound like me. Sound like yourself. And remember, when you're listening to me praying, I'm praying in public. What you're hearing is my public style, but it's nothing like my private prayers. My private prayers, when I'm enjoying my devotionals in the mornings, are full of stutters and stops, meanderings and repeats. Don't judge your prayers by anyone else's. Do what works for you and God. The main thing is to be persistent. Be persistent. Pray and pray often. God wants to give us good things, the things we get when we're in a loving relationship with God. How often should we pray? No, I can't say. That's personal. But if you don't like your prayer life, if you don't like your prayer life, if your relationship with God is not what you want it to be, you're probably not praying enough. Praying is good. Talking back and forth to God helps us be in relationship with God. We should do it often. We should do it persistently. But what do we say? What do we say to God? Well, Jesus gives us an outline. Jesus gives us a good starting point to get us going in the right direction. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us a good place to start. Lord, give us our daily bread. What is the bread I really need today? Am I angry at God because I keep getting whole wheat when I'm asking for donuts? Do I have some bread I should be sharing with someone else? Lord, do you want me to share my bread today? Lord, forgive our sins, but Lord, I am having a hard time forgiving my neighbor. Yes, yes, I started that argument, but she didn't have to push it that far. Lord, help me forgive my neighbor. If you don't know what to say, the Lord's Prayer is a good place to start. And while we're on the subject, are we doing all the talking? Are we doing any listening? You know, what's that old expression, we all have two ears and one mouth for a reason? Right? Are we listening to God? God is talking to us all the time, but are we listening to God's wavelength? Remember these radios? Not the push button type where you preset your frequency, but where you have to tune that dial. Remember that? Gosh, y'all are old. That you have to tune that radio just right to hear your favorite station. Listening to God is a lot like listening to those old radios. We have to tune ourselves to God's wavelength. Prayer is about talking to God, sure, but prayer is also about tuning ourselves to God's wavelength. It's about tuning ourselves to hear what God is saying to us and receiving all the good things God is giving to us. In the 1970s, there was a popular gospel song called Turn Your Radio On. Anybody remember that? Okay. All right. Yes. Turn your radio on. Okay. Come and listen in to a radio station where the mighty host of heaven sing. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. If you want to feel those good vibrations coming from the joy that his love can bring, turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Friend, is your radio on? Are you tuned to God's wavelength? Communication is something we all struggle with. We all struggle with it, both in our human relationships and in our divine relationships. There is no one right, perfect way to communicate. We all have to sort of stumble along until we find one that works for us, including in our relationship with God. But once we have that way, that style that works for us, we know once or twice a year is not going to cut it. Good relationships need a lot of communication. We have to work at it. We have to be persistent. We have to do it all the time. However we speak to God, know this. God is speaking to us. God is speaking to us. Friend, is your radio on? Are you tuned to the right wavelength? Amen.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Finalac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.